And that's why I wanted to have Dave Newman on. He's very respected around town. He's with Concealed Carry NOLA. And Dave, I got to be honest here. I don't know that I would want that responsibility because it is an awesome one.
Well, it's not necessarily for everyone. I mean, you have to be prepared to deal with the aftermath. You have to realize that no matter where you go, you're carrying a firearm with you and you are bringing a firearm to the scene. You have to make sure no one else gets it from you so that they can use it against you or someone else. It is a responsibility.
And I was talking about listening to Scoot Show last night, and I heard somebody call in, and they said that, you know, you shouldn't carry a gun to hurt anybody. You should carry a gun just to point it and to scare them. And I was screaming at the radio saying, no, that's the exact wrong reason to carry a gun. You before you pull that gun out, correct me if I'm wrong, you better have every intention of using it. And it's like to me, Dave, and correct me if I'm wrong, one thing leads to another, leads to another. Before you pull a gun out, you're making an irrevocable decision. You got to be willing to use it. And then you're pulling it out could lead you to use it. So then you have to be justified in using it. So you have to make that decision before you take it out of the holster. Am I making stuff up here or not?
No, I think you're right. I mean, it's a last resort use of force. You have to be at the point where you know that your life is under a threat, or that you can receive great bodily harm, and you have to realize that. There's no going back. Once you pull it out, you can't just wave it around. That's brandishing. That's actually against the law itself.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You can't just pull a gun out and wave it around to scare people. I mean, that's, it's a gray area because there might be some circumstances where people can pull out a firearm and somebody will run away from them and then that'll cause the situation to end. That's not beyond belief, but you can't just pull it out and say, to scare somebody. No, that's not that's considered brandishing in most cases.
But is it accurate to say if you have a concealed carry permit, when you decide to pull that gun out, you have to be committed to using it because it could lead to that?
Right. I mean, you should only be pulling it out because the situation warrants using it.
Let me take a break here, and I don't want to get involved in Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman with Dave Newman. I want to get more involved with if you have any questions about a concealed carry permit or when it's appropriate to use a gun and not, because I think there's a lot of misinformation out there. And, Dave, I want to ask you when we come back, have you seen an increase as a certified instructor in people wanting permits since the case in Florida, or a decrease or no change at all, and some of the common misconceptions when we come back, all right?
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Dave Newman, our guest, will take your questions if you have any. Not in relation to the Trayvon George Zimmerman thing. We'll have a time for that later, but specifically about concealed carry permits, because when I heard that lady last night, I thought, no, you're going up the wrong tree with this. 7:22 now, time to look at traffic, and for that, we're going to go to Tara Robinson. Dave Newman, our guest, a concealed carry instructor with Concealed Carry NOLA and certified. Dave, give me certifications.
I'm NRA certified. I'm registered with the Louisiana State Police Concealed Handgun Unit.
All right, and I get a text here. This is a good question. If you see somebody else pointing a gun at somebody else, not yourself, should you intervene with your weapon if you got a concealed carry permit?
Boy, that's a huge gray area, Tommy. The way I teach it in my class is a lot of times you don't know what's going on, number one. You don't know their relationship to each other. If you know the person that the gun's pointed at, the way I teach it, if it's not your brother, your sister, your mother, your wife, your child, I would call 911 and, let the police deal with it, because it could just be somebody horseplaying. It could be anything.
Could be another concealed carry permit owner holding a bad guy. You don't know.
You have no idea what's going on. So, I mean, unless it's blatantly obvious, like a Columbine situation where the guy just shot 7 people right in front of you, then that may be a different story. So you want to avoid gray areas as much as possible so that you don't potentially face prosecution. I mean, that's kind of what you should try to avoid.
And that goes to the bigger question. When you have a concealed carry permit, that gun is to protect you, not to make you law enforcement.
That's right. You're not being deputized, although there are some concealed carry permits that are issued by sheriff's departments and where they actually deputize people. But the Louisiana State Police permit is not that. It is for civilians, and you are not being deputized to be law enforcement.
Dave, you know, I'm getting in a battle of text messages here with somebody about concealed carry permits and it being legal to walk down the street with a gun strapped to your hip because it's your constitutional right to do it. I don't see it a lot in Orleans Parish. Would you advise people to do that or not?
I would not advise people to do it, even though it is legal. He is right in saying that is legal to do so in the state of Louisiana. The only people that I know that can get away with that kind of stuff are in rural areas because they're on farms and stuff like that. That law is kind of on the books for that sort of situation. If you open carry in a city, a busy urban environment, then most likely people are going to call the police saying they're afraid. There's a man walking down the street carrying a gun, and next thing you know, you're going to have your hands on the hood of a car.
Yep. And that's what I think is going to happen. And whoever keeps texting me with this, if you want to do it, go ahead. It's your business.
I mean, they'll probably give you your gun back and tell you that you shouldn't be doing what you're doing because you're scaring the hell out of people because it is within your legal rights. But at the same time, how many times do you want the police to stop you and make you spread your legs and all of that kind of stuff? So.
All right. And Remy in New Orleans. Hey, Remy, you're on WWL.
How y'all doing this morning?
Good.
Mr. Newman, I got a quick question. I've been having a concealed carry permit for 2 years now, and my car itself is starting to fade a little bit, and you can barely make out, you know, my information, but you can make out the, your concealed carry permit number, the number on the right-hand corner. I mean, do I have to go back to the, to get my car so they, I'm worried when I get pulled over when they see this thing, when I present it to them, it's all faded out. If they're going to give me any lip for it, or do I have to go up to the state, up to the Capitol and go get a new one? Or
I would try, if your driver's license was faded out, I would get in touch with the Louisiana State Police Concealed Handgun Unit, tell them what's going on. They'll probably just make you another one, but you could probably, they might let you mail this stuff in to do so.
Okay.
But you need to call them and let them know what's happening because I would avoid, being stopped with one that's kind of getting worn out and they can't read anything.
No problem. Thank you very much.
All right, Remy. I appreciate the call. We're going to take a break here for news. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Dave Newman, a certified firearms instructor. He's with Concealed Carry NOLA. Talking to Dave Newman, a certified NRA instructor with Concealed Carry NOLA, about firearms, and would you want a concealed permit, a concealed carry permit after the whole George Zimmerman thing? Because I got to tell you, I don't know if I do or not. I'm not anti-gun, got several guns in the house because you got a different footing there, don't you, Dave, when it comes to shooting people and not that are in your house?
Yeah. I mean, your home is your home, and you have the right to protect it. So, there's definitely the law gives you a lot more leeway in your home than it does in the street. I mean, the permit is for you to carry a gun concealed in public. No one can tell you where to keep your gun in your house. So,
I'm just talking about the liability and the
right,
both criminal
right.
And civil.
If someone's on your property that you don't know and you didn't invite them there, then therefore you have every reason to believe that they're there to harm you. So,
well, not a salesman.
Well, you better arm your wallet.
Yes, I just want to clear that up. And when it comes to home defense weapons, I think the Remington 870, a shotgun is the best, and that's not because of the radio station tie-in. I think it's one of the best home defense weapons because, first off, you don't have to be terribly accurate. You don't have to worry about over-penetration going in your neighbor's house. And unless it's a mafia assassin, as soon as you rack that round, chances are they're leaving.
That's right. That sounds enough to scare most people off. A dog is probably a really good home self-defense weapon, too. So.
Yeah. So let me ask you quickly about the four laws now that are being proposed by different legislators. We spoke to Senator J.P. Morrell, Representative Roy Burrell. We invited the other two on, Neil Reiser and Yvonne Dorsey-Colomb. They had commitments. They couldn't come on. If you're a concealed carry guy and you do have to shoot somebody, should you be concerned about the police preserving evidence and shooting and treating it as any other shooting, like a police officer involved shooting or not?
I wouldn't be. I mean, if you're justifiable in doing what you did, I don't see any problem with that. It's just I don't think we need a new law to make that happen. I think most cases where I know people had permits and had to justifiably use their firearm to protect themselves, the police did take their gun. They kept it until they were sure that all the evidence cleared them, proving that it was self-defense. And they didn't get their firearm back. Some of them even didn't get their firearm back, depending on which jurisdiction it happened in. But they were cleared of any charges.
So you're saying it happens now, and as far as you know, if the laws that we have are enforced, maybe we don't need anything new right away?
Exactly. I think it's a matter of just enforcing the laws that are on the books now. I mean, from the conversation, a little bit of conversation you had before the top of the hour, before I got on, that was with J.P. Morrell, right?
Yeah. Well, the top of the hour was Burrell, I think, Roy Burrell.
Okay. I
depending on what time you heard, we had J.P. Morrell before him.
Okay. But, I mean, he sounded a little bit like he was contradicting himself because at first he was saying he didn't want people to follow people. And then
you're talking about the mathematician. That was Burrell.
Yeah. I mean, he sounded like he kind of contradicted himself a bit, but and he admitted that he doesn't know the law that well. But, I mean, nothing against him. I'm just saying that if he read the aggressor law that's on the books in Louisiana, it pretty much covers what he was talking about.
Yeah, my opinion is I don't think before – just my opinion, and I don't want to get you involved in this, but before we start changing laws, I think we should at least find out what all of the facts are in this case in Florida, because – all any of us know is what came out on TV. So
right. There might be more evidence we don't know about
exactly.
that gives them reason to do what they're doing. But, I mean, you know, at some point I think we'll all find out.
But we don't know yet, and I think it's a little premature to start changing laws in Louisiana. Thank you, David.
Right.
I appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you, Tommy.
Thank you. So if somebody wants to get involved or take a class, how do they do it?
They can always reach me through my website, concealedcarrynola.com, and we've got classes scheduled every month, at least four times a month, and we also offer private classes.
And have you seen an increase or decrease or no change since this whole thing in Florida?
Well, there's definitely more interest. I've noticed a bit of an increase, a lot more questions, though. People are a little more leery of having one. Like you said, you're not sure if you want to have one or not.
Yeah.
Because they don't want the liability, and they're just afraid of being, having charges pressed against them for defending themselves. But if you clearly understand what the laws are and you know how to responsibly own a firearm and how to carry that firearm responsibly, you're not going to have that kind of
And I got to ask you again about that number. It's a $94,000 decision? Is that the number? What did you put on it about if you get involved because you're going to have to defend yourself?
It varies too much to put that much of to put an exact number on it. It varies from case to case too much. So it's kind of hard to just say it's $94,000, but it could be that high. I mean, that's why I recommend to people that they talk to an attorney, have someone in mind in case they have to use their firearm in self-defense, so they know who they're going to call when they get that one phone call from when they're down at the police station.
Yep. Thank you, David. I appreciate your time.